what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am not just a hearer, but I am a doer. I declare that faith is coming alive in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the ladies' version. You may have your seats on this morning. Okay, we are already starting off a little bit different, but let God be glorified. Amen. What I am going to do is remain in the same series as my pastor, okay? So pastor has been doing an amazing, amazing job on teaching on bold faith, amen? So this, I believe, is part 7 of the series, and we're going to continue on in the same series of lessons that pastor has been sharing. Last Sunday, he spoke on the power of confession, and I believe that was one of the most solid lessons I have heard on confession. How many would agree that it matters what you say? Everything you say, it really does matter. We can't just be letting things loosely slip off our lips, because we are forming things with the words of our mouth. And this past Tuesday night, he spoke on being fully persuaded, and we must know that we cannot quit on God, because we know that if we continue on in his way, we know that we're going to see his way. Amen. When we do things God's way, we will see God results. So today we're going to continue on in a series of lessons. And I love to find accounts in scripture where God has just shown himself to be miraculous. God has just done some amazing things, because I believe the word of God. And the word of God says that he is not a respecter of persons. So if he did it for somebody in the Bible, guess what? He can do it for me. Amen. So I love to always find a scripture to kind of validate my lesson. So we're going to start in 2 Kings chapter 7, a very familiar scripture if you've been in church for at least 2 years. I'm sure you've heard this. A very familiar story in the Bible that is an accurate story. And we're going to read it in the NIV version. And we're going to start reading at verse 1. And it says, Elijah replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow," I can't read that one. Oh, yeah, "about this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour we sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens. Could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," answered Elijah, "but you will not eat any of it." Verse 3 says, "Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." So here is a very profound philosophy, I believe. If you go back to chapter 6, we'll see that there was a famine in Samaria. And Syria had besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine in the land. And it was not in a good place at that time. You know, famine was so bad in Samaria that they were eating donkey's heads, and they were also cooking the children to eat for them to live. They were eating children and eating their own children. So it was a very tough time. And I know you may be thinking, how could someone ever do that? But when times are hard, you'll be surprised what people will do to try to get by. And so, you know, as a mother, I mean, I couldn't imagine boiling my child. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm not there, so we'll find something else to eat. You know what I mean? I'll make sure they eat before I eat, you know. But again, this was back then, so that's what they were doing, okay? So, and again, the famine caused them to take some very drastic measures for them to stay alive. So here we are, we're in a situation in a time of famine. There's huge war, there's no food, but we're at this place where here Elijah has said that the famine is going to end tomorrow, okay? The man of God has spoken, but we have these 4 lepers. They didn't know that the famine was going to end tomorrow. They didn't know that, okay, if I could hold off for 24 more hours, I'm going to be okay. They didn't know that. So we're at the gate of Samaria. We have these 4 lepers, and maybe you're thinking, okay, my situation is pretty bad. You know, I am, you know, I found out that, you know, I have this sickness in my body, and I've been dealing with these situations for so long. Or maybe you say, you know, things aren't going right in my relationships. But here we have lepers who they are considered outcasts. they are separated from everyone else in society. As they're walking along the street, they have to cry out, leper coming, leper coming. So your situation is a lot different than someone who was living with leprosy in that time. So when a leper was coming, again, they had to isolate themselves from everyone else. They were like the lowest of the lowest. You know, they didn't really even have a purpose according to other people because they, why are you here? And so, yeah, we may have some things that we have to go through in life today's standards, but it does not compare to what it was like in those days as being a leper. So here we see that we have these lepers, and they're saying, okay, we have this opportunity in front of us. We can sit right here, and there is a 100% chance that we are going to die. Or we can get up and try and go into the city, and there is a 99.99% chance that we are going to die. So 100% or 99.99. So to me, they said, let's take the 0.01% chance of living. So in your life, you know, you have some things that you're not maybe deciding if I'm going to sit here and die or sit here, you know, and live. But you may have some decisions that you have to make. And you have to weigh out, okay, why am I not moving forward? Why am I already at 100% loss when I have 100% opportunity to win? So we cannot keep looking at what I'm looking at in the natural as this is it. This is doom and gloom. There is no hope for tomorrow. No, there is a percentage, a chance of you winning if you want, get up and move. So we have to, that's basically where we're going. We got to get up and move. We can't just sit here and we know we're going to die before we can get up and we know that I have an opportunity to live. Amen. So they say, why should we sit here until we die? Because if we stay here, we know we're going to die. But if we get up, we know we have a chance of living. So we see here that that's the big question. Why are we sitting here? Bold faith takes action. Bold faith takes action. We have got to be in motion if we're going to see what God has for our lives. And there are some great things he has for us, but sometimes we're just sitting there waiting on God. But God is saying, no, what you're waiting for, it is actually waiting on you. So we cannot just wait for these, you know, magical things to happen, because God, number one, is not, he's not a magical God. He doesn't do things, you know, like poof, here you go. No, there is a process of faith that we have to go through for us to receive these things. And he's saying, I have all this prepared for you, but you have got to get in motion to receive it. It's like if I want to go and get Yvonne's purse, I can't just sit there and say I want her purse. If she doesn't give it to me, I got to go get it, right? So we have to put some motion behind our faith. So verse 5, here we go. At dusk, they got up, and they decided to get up, right? And they went to the camp of the Arameans. I'm going to say Arameans, however you want to pronounce it, okay? I'm English. I'm United States. I don't know what the word is. It's, what did you say? Arameans. Arameans. Oh, yeah, I like that better. Okay, so I'm going to admit I didn't, like, hear, pronounce the word. I didn't go through all that, okay? So Arameans, when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Verse 6, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. Verse 7, so they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. So here we have the people here. They are like, okay, I hear something. Like, what's going on? So out of fear, they get up and run, leave everything they behind, everything they have behind, because they're scared that God has already caused an ambushment to come upon them. So let's look at what happens at verse 8. Here comes who? The lepers. They just walking along the way, and they reached the edge of the camp, and they entered in one of the tents, and what did? They ate and they drank. Now, they already living. Shoot, I got something to eat. I got something to drink. It's all good now. So, but here is the God that we serve. He always does things in abundance. So not only did he feed them, it says then they took what? Silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They said, we ain't going to lose this. I got me a stash, and I'm not going to let it go. But they returned and entered into another tent and took some things from it and hid it also. So here we are. They were at a gate with nothing. 100% chance of losing. But they decided to take the 0.01% and get up and do something with the 0.01% and win. So So in your life, do something with the 0.01% and you shall win, okay? So I don't know what your gate may be. You may be sitting at a gate filled with, you know, fear because you're scared to move out. But guess what? Fear is a lie. Fear is real, but fear is a lie. You know, just yesterday, we didn't go to the wedding. Well, the kids and I didn't go to the wedding because Hannah had a horse show. Hannah was riding. They were doing this part of their little just practice part, and they were in, like, the hard grass. They were not in the arena. They were just riding along the grass. So Hannah, just having fun on the horse, the pony's having fun, just, you know, doing whatever they want to do. So the pony was having so much fun, and she shakes her head. Hannah loses her balance, hits the ground, bounces off the ground, and just like she couldn't even cry because she couldn't get any words out because the air had left her body. So she was just sitting there. She was just like she was trying to talk, but she couldn't talk because nothing would come out. And so she was sitting there, and she's like, I can't feel my legs. I was like, the devil is a lie. This is not even possible. You can feel your legs. So I'm immediately praying while the trainer's trying to keep her calm. So she gets up. And because we know she could feel her legs because she's already healed, she was just scared. And so she gets up and she's like, okay. So she gets on the pony again and she's trying to ride it because she's in pain because she kind of landed on her back. And she's like, okay, I'm riding. And then the pony starts getting a little bit faster, going to a canter, which is a faster run. So the pony starts cantering and she's like, okay, Mom, what if he starts shaking his head again? I say, Hannah, we're not going to think that way. The pony, you're fine. You're on the pony again. So the pony starts shaking its head, and she immediately cries out, Mom, Miss Sarah. Sarah's her trainer. I can't do it. I'm scared. Get me off. I'm like, no, Hannah, just breathe. Because, again, the fear had come to her head thinking that she could not do this. She has been riding this pony for about 6 months, but she's been riding for 4 years. Hannah, you can do this. Don't let the fear grip you and stop you from going forth in what you had to do. So the thing is, the fear, yeah, it was real. It was evident. It was all in her posture. It was in her speech. You could tell that she was not comfortable. But one thing I will say, she went on to continue on with the show yesterday. She did not do her best because mentally she was scared. What if I fall again? What are you going to do? Get back up on the pony. Because we are not going to allow fear to stop you from moving forward and what you know that you are capable of doing. So in your life, there are some things that you have already been doing. But because it may not be lining up the way you think it should line up, you stop because maybe this isn't God. Maybe I really can't do this. But no, fear is a lie. And you can do everything that God says you can do. So if your gate is fear, guess what? You can open that gate up and walk right through it. Don't stay behind the gate and miss out on what you know that you can make happen with God's help. There are some things you cannot do naturally. You cannot do a lot of things in your own power. You need God's power to help you go forward and do what he has called you to do. So maybe your gate is apathy. I'm just sitting, oh, I'm good. No, get up and do something. Because sometimes we get so comfortable with things because I'm good. But no, God says, don't be so complacent in life. Let's get up. Let's make sure that we are, because we have our own little route. Every morning at 8 o'clock, I go here. Every morning at 12:15, I go here. Every morning or every afternoon at 4:15, I go here. God said, let's not be so complacent where we know what we're going to do and he can't use us because we have our own schedule and our own agenda. Make room for him in your day-to-day life so that he can help somebody else's life get better. Amen? So bold faith takes action. And actually, action usually lasts through some time and consists of more than one act. Sometimes it's not just going to be one thing you have to do that's going to make this process come to pass. It takes action. It takes time, and it takes sometimes more than one act. And I am good night. Already about out of time. Okay, so I have some notes that I have to share with you. Okay, 4 things that we have to do when natural facts try to erode our faith. We cannot let go of our faith when we are trying to move forth in God. Because a lot of times, again, when we start moving forth, again, things try to hinder us and stop us and make us think that it won't work. But there are 4 things in the context of this lesson that we have to do when the natural things that we see in the natural try to stop us and erode us of our faith. The first thing we have to do is we must stop. We must stop the mental process. As I was just saying a moment ago, the battle takes place in your mind. Fear tries to come in and stop you and torment you in your mind, thinking that you can't do this, you can't do that. Why are you even trying? Do you know where you come from? Do you know your past? Do you know your story? Yes, I know my story. Yes, I know where I come from. And yes, I know where I'm going. So, but the thing is, you have to stop the mental process and cast down every thought, every imagination that comes against the name and the knowledge of God, and realize that, you know what, I can do this. So you got to stop the mental process, the battles in your mind. And the enemy tries to wear us out mentally so that we will quit physically. We can't stop physically. We got to keep going. And when we quit, we usually quit in our mind first. We think ourselves out of the fight before we even get into the ring. We don't even get suited up. You know, because, you know, I can't do that. Why? Because you said you couldn't do it. Right? So we got to make sure that we stop the mental process. And I just quoted the scripture, but let's put up 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I want to also read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, wherefore, here's what you have to do. Gird up the loins of your mind. That means prepare your mind for action. You got to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have to prepare our minds. We got to make, you know what? You're going to do this. And sometimes you just got to talk hard to yourself, because if not, you'll talk yourself out of doing nothing, because you won't talk yourself into doing something. You know what I mean? Because you'll just sit there and just like, okay, because God knows. Like every day I purpose to eat right. I purpose to work out. Every day I purpose to eat right and I purpose to work out. Every day I purpose to eat right and I purpose to work out. And it comes to the point sometimes where every meal is like, okay, Conte, this meal you're going to do right. I had to break that thing down from the whole day to the meal. Because I'm like, why am I still struggling in this area? I declare I'm disciplined. You know, my body is a temple of the Lord, and I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be as athletic as an athlete. I'm going to look like I work out. I'm going to, you know, do all these things, and God is good. I am victorious. I'm going to eat right, and I'm going to work out. But the thing is, it's a mental thing. If you tell yourself, shoot, it ain't worth it. I've been trying for 2 weeks, and all I lost was 2 weeks. But you have to tell yourself, no, it takes time sometimes for the evidence to manifest, you know, when you've been doing right. So we want to wake up and be like, oh, God, I did good for 24 hours, and I lost 24 pounds. That would be God, right? But we got to prepare ourselves mentally for the long haul. Because if not, we're thinking, okay, it's taking too long, I'm just going to quit. No, keep your mind straight and keep it focused on God. And I promise you, you will see him show up, all right? So that was the number one. Point two, when we are looking at the natural facts that try to erode our faith, we have got to stand. We must be still and rehearse what the truth is. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We got to be still and rehearse what the truth is. Okay, doing good. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think on these things. Whatever sort of things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So here we see that the thoughts that we rehearse, they act as truth to us. The thoughts that we always rehearse in our mind, that's what becomes truth to us. So we have to make sure that we are thinking on things that are true, thinking on things that are honorable, thinking on things that are just, because the way we feel or respond to a situation is based on what we're saying. But we must realize that we have to create a positive paradigm in our lives if we're going to see the move of God in our lives. Amen. Sometimes we say, I know I shouldn't feel this way, but. Why? You know, I know I shouldn't really think this way about myself, but this is why I do. But that's not really healthy. We got to make sure that we are often, as I said, rehearsing what the truth is. Yeah, this may have happened, but God sent his son Jesus to die for me, and now I'm no longer that person who I used to be because of his shed blood, amen? So the enemy, he will always try and sell us a lie, but again, we can't buy into the lies that he sells us, amen? The truth is, we are equipped to win in every situation because we have the Almighty God already at work on the inside of us, amen? So we must rehearse the truth. constantly rehearse the truth of God's word. His word says that, you know, his commandments are true, right? God's mercy, that's true. And when we continue to rehearse his mercy, his commandments, his word, his declaration over our lives, that's what's going to start taking root in our lives. And that's what we have to stand on, is the truth of God's word. Amen. So we're going to, number one, we're going to stop. We're going to stand. And then number three is we're going to speak the truth of God's word at all times. So this goes back to Pastor's lesson on last week about watching our words. Amen. Because, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I said it a moment ago, we can't let things so loosely come off our lips, because we are forming our world with the words of our mouth. Man, I just hate it. I don't like you. I don't like them. I just want to go somewhere and sit down and be by myself because I'm tired of living. Well, you know, we can't, you know, because what's going to happen? You're going to start being isolated. Nobody's going to be around you. And guess what? You created that world. Why won't anybody call me? Because you said you didn't want to be around nobody. You know, why don't they invite me to the party? Because you don't want to be around anybody. You said you don't like people. I'm not a people person. Well, okay. You said that. Well, that's why you're always eating at lunch by yourself, because you're not a people person. And again, we may know our characteristics, but again, we have to start saying, you know what? No, people are flocking to me. They come to me for wisdom. They come to me, you know, just for a laugh. They come to me for wise counsel. I am a light in everybody's room, everybody's life. You know, so you got to start speaking good things about who you are, and then that way things will start gravitating to you. So whatever you speak, that's what's going to be produced in your life. Amen? So we got to make sure that we are speaking the truth of God's word. I believe, so guess what? Therefore, I speak. Your faith will never rise above your confession. Your faith, it will never, ever rise above what you're saying. Confession always precedes your profession. So you have to make sure that you are saying what the word of God says at all times. So if you have a doctor's report that says that you are sick, no, God's word said, I'm healed. So that's what I'm going to confess, that I am the healed of the Lord, and I'm resisting every sickness and disease. Sickness cannot live where healing is. Right? So I'm going to confess the word of God at all times. So we must stand. I'm sorry, we must stop. We must stand. We must speak. And number four, we must see. We must see the end result of our faith in God's power. And there are two places that the word of God must be to live a lifestyle of faith. It must be in our heart, and it must be in our mouth. The word of God has got to be in your heart, and it has got to be in your mouth. So when that word of God is in your heart, guess what's going to come up? The word of God. Amen. Because if the word is not there in your heart, that's why sometimes doubt comes up, because there's not enough word that's going to come up. So you have to make sure that you are constantly saturating your heart with the word of God. That way, when you speak, the word of God will come up. Right? So if you want to check what you're saying, check what's in your heart. Because the Bible is true. Whatsoever's in the heart, whatever's in the heart, that's what the mouth is going to speak. Amen. So God is saying here, he said, we must make sure that we are seeing the end result of our faith and God's power when we do things his way. And when I choose to live by faith, there are five things I want to talk about really quick before I'm done. When I choose to live by faith, the first thing I must do is I must confirm his word in my life. I must confirm his word in my life. He makes a promise that his word would not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that he sent it out to do. Amen? So I must realize that, you know, God must confirm his word in my life when I live by faith. When I live by faith, he's going to confirm his word in my life. So you know what? He said, you know what? I already sent healing for you. So guess what? It's yours. So if I just live my life as a life of faith, I'm going to receive every promise that he has for me. Number two, I put pressure on the word. Therefore, my situation, it has to change. Five things happen. This is number two. When I choose to live by faith, I'm going to put pressure on the word. And my situation, it has to change. It has no other reason but to change. Because of why? I'm already confessing the word of God. And if his word is true, it has to come forth. And his word is true, because I don't know about you, but I've seen his work in operation in my life. So I have no other reason but to believe it. Amen. So let's read Isaiah 43:26. I must put pressure on the word, therefore my situation must change. Here it says, remind me of your merits. Because God is saying, tell me, remind me of your merits with a thorough report. Let me know what you've been doing. He said, let us plead and argue our case together. State your position that you may be proved right. So he's saying, I'm going to put pressure on the word of God. Therefore, my situation must change. I'm going to remind God, this is what your word says. Your word says that if I remind you, then you're going to do something for me. Guess what? I come here every Monday night for rehearsal. Thank you, God, for rewarding me. I come here every Tuesday night for Bible study. Thank you, God, for rewarding me. I come here every Sunday, 9 and 11. Thank you, God, for rewarding me. I witness in Walmart. I witness in Target. I witness in Harris Teeter. Thank you, God, for rewarding me. I'm living holy. I'm not in sin. I'm committed to walk holy before the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for rewarding me. So he said, remind me of your merits. And guess what? My situation has to change. I can't remain in lack because I'm a giver. Right? So certain things have to happen for me because I am doing things the way God wants them done. Okay, number three, I also untie the hands of God and give him the right to get involved in my situation. So when I live a life of faith, his hands are no longer tied. They're open wide to help me. They're open wide to just move on my behalf because, again, I'm living in faith. I'm not sometimes in, sometimes out. No, every day I believe God. And this is the day that you're going to do something great just to amaze me and to increase my faith. So, Father, I'm living this lifestyle. So your hands are untied. You can do whatever you want to do to bring a miracle in my life. Amen. So whenever I'm living my faith, his hands are open. They're wide. He could do whatever he has to do to make sure that you are not in lack, that you are not sick, that you are not depressed, that you have his joy. So, again, when you live a life of faith, his hands are open and they are ready to bless you. Amen. He's ready to get involved in your situation, but you have to invite him into your situation. Amen. Number four, I open the door of possibilities for my life. Let's read Luke 1 and 37, and I'm almost done. I was waiting on you. Okay. Luke 1 and 37. For with God, nothing is what? Ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So here we have the scripture. He says, when I'm in faith, I open the door of possibilities for my life. Nothing is ever impossible. If he's in the midst, it's going to work. If he's in the midst, it's possible for you. But again, you have to see yourself as being, you know, able to even handle it. Because sometimes our dream may seem too big for us, but it's not too big for him. But the thing is, you can't see yourself as too little or that's not for me. Oh, me? No, somebody else. But no, you have to see yourself as, you know, God sees me fit and worthy to receive all that he has for me. So I'm going to make sure that I remain in faith and I'm going to see the open door of possibilities for my life. Going back to school at 40 years old is not impossible. Going back to school at 50 years old is not impossible. You know, opening that business is not impossible with God. With man, it definitely won't work because they'll leave you high and dry sometimes. They'll say, yeah, I support you. Sure. Some people will. But, you know, sometimes, you know, that word, you know, sometimes they don't have that action behind it to follow. But God says, you know, if you lean on my word, I will never, ever leave you or disappoint you. But if there is a whole world of possibilities for you. Amen. And number five, God now has somebody in the earth to show off in. So when I live a life by faith, God now has somebody in the earth that he can show off in. And I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, make me the person that you want to show off in. Because I'm doing everything according to your will, according to your way. You can use me. Yeah, I'll tell them of your glory. And I won't try and get the praise. I'll say, Lord, it was your doing and it was marvelous in our eyes. So he's saying, you know, just give me faith. Don't keep sitting at the gate. There's a 0.01% that it's going to work. But actually, with God on your side, it's 100% chance that it's going to work. But the thing is, we cannot just sit here and wait that, you know, maybe this isn't for me. It is for you. Bold faith takes action. So my prayer for you today is that you will, you know, consult God. And if there's something that you already have on the table that you've been praying God for, you know, let's not think that maybe it's not possible. It is possible. Again, it may be something that may seem a little hard or that you know, it may take some years to accomplish. But that doesn't mean that it won't work. It may take some more effort on your part, but guess what? If you get to moving, next year you'll be 1 year closer. if you get to moving, you know, you'll be a couple months closer versus you just sitting there still thinking, you know? Even if it's just getting the research done, that's closer. Seeing what it takes to make it happen, you're a step closer. But if you just keep thinking on it, not making a plan, it's not going anywhere. But bold faith takes action, amen? So I pray you are blessed on this morning. I am out of time. Can you give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise all over the building? Praise God. All right, so let's bow our hands.